sincerely welcome to the morning meeting. This Lord's Day morning service, we're glad of your presence, your support and fellowship with us. I want to read to you just some words of the Saviour. Matthew chapter 22, the verse 37. Jesus said unto him, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment." May the Lord challenge our hearts through that verse, or those two verses, the verse 38 as well. May challenge us even about our walk and our service. May deliver us from being careless and half-hearted in the things of God. That will certainly be the burden of our Bible study this morning. 416 is our opening hymn. We want to make these words the prayer of our hearts. Oh, for a closer walk with God, a calm and heavenly frame, a light to shine upon the road that leads me to the Lamb. 416, and we're standing to sing, please. Let's just bow together at the throne of grace. We long to know the Lord's presence in his house and in the meeting. We want to plead to that end. We encourage you to pray earnestly from your heart that the Lord will be with us. The scriptures tell us, be still and know that I am God. We pray just as we still ourselves as we come to prayer, that we'll know and be conscious that the Lord is here, the Lord is with us. Father, we thank you for the assurance of thy word, that our help cometh from the Lord that made heaven and earth. Lord, as we come to this meeting, we do want to acknowledge that we need your help. We're in great need of the help of God today. We're glad, Father, we can testify that we've known that help again through this last week. We think of all that each of us have had to do, both in our own lives, in our own homes, and in the work of the church, the work of the gospel. We thank you for helping us every day. And with us, Father, in all that we have done, watched over us. We want to praise thee today for how richly and bountifully you have blessed us. Lord, we can say that your goodness and mercy have followed us, pursued us every day of this week, and every day of our lives. We thank you, Father, for that day especially that your goodness and mercy brought us to Christ in salvation. We thank you for everyone in the meeting that knows the Lord, everyone that is able to say that they're saved, their blood washed, they're heaven bound. Lord, we want to pray that our hearts will be touched afresh as we consider Calvary and the greatness of thy salvation. We pray that we might never lose the wonder of all that Christ has done for us. We want, Father, to make the words of this hymn today the cry of our hearts. We plead for a closer walk. Oh, for a closer walk with God. Lord, we ask thee, put that upon our hearts today. Give us a deeper burden, a greater desire for closer fellowship and communion with thee, our God. Save us, Father, from the routine. Save us, we ask, from just going through the motions of the Christian life and even of church services. Lord, we ask, draw us closer to thy precious wounded side. We do want to thank you, Father, for enabling us to be here today. Thank you for bringing us to thy house. Thank you for bringing us to this service. We're thankful for all that are gathered, Father. Do be with each one. May all that are here experience the hand of God upon them. Lord, our prayer would be that you would do something different with us today and amongst us. We want to pray, Father, that you would do a new thing, even in our midst. We want to pray, Father, you'll come down into this meeting in a way that we've not known before. The Lord whom you seek shall suddenly come to his temple. O God, give to us such an experience, even in thy house today. But we're pleading, Father, you'll bless us. Bless us each one. We want to pray that you'll speak to us from your word. Teach us, Father. We pray for a word from God. We pray for a word that will come with power. We pray, Father, that you will speak in such a manner today, so clearly and so powerfully, that all of us will know that it is the Lord himself who is ministering and speaking to us this day. Lord, forgive us for our coldness. Forgive us that we don't love thee, Father, as we ought. We think of these words, love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, with all thy might. O God, we pray, increase our love for thee. We marvel at the greatness of your love for us. We marvel, Father, that you loved us so much you gave your Son to be our Savior. And we think of what you have given for us. Help us then, Father, to give to thee. In return, give ourselves, give our all to Christ in his service. Lord, remember the older members of our congregation, the senior members. We pray that you'll be with them. Be near to each one, especially those that can't be here at the house of God because of illness and infirmity. Lord, be at their side. Encourage them. Remember those that are unwell at this time. Remember Brother Jim Cross. Continue your hand upon Jim, a strengthening and just a healing touch. We're mindful, Father, of Brother Adrian. We thank you for the recovery that he's made. We're praying that that will continue. We pray that he'll know your presence through these days of recovery. We're mindful, Father, for Sister Mrs. Verner too. Lord, continue to be with her, Sister. Uphold her. Strengthen her in body and in mind. Mindful for Brother Colin too, asking that your continued hand might be upon him just at this time as well. And Lord, we bring just to thee everyone that has been unwell, everyone that is experiencing ill health. We do want to pray for Tracy too, that you'll guide the doctors, guide the consultants as they consider her case. Remember John and Helen, we know the great burden upon their hearts. We're asking, Father, that you might sustain them, even as a family, through these very, very difficult times. Lord, we're conscious today that all we have comes from thee. It's thou preservest us from death and danger every hour, and we couldn't even draw another breath unless you gave us the power. We thank you, Father, for health to serve thee. We pray that you'll help us to be busy for the Master while we've time and while we have opportunity. We ask thee, Father, especially, be with us tonight in the special meeting. Pray for the hand of God upon that meeting. We pray for your presence to be known from the very outset. Remember the moderator, the clerk, as they will come to conduct the service. We ask thee, Father, to give them help and use them in our midst tonight, all the other members of presbytery who will be with us also. We pray, Father, it will be a very significant meeting. We pray it will be a time when the Lord comes amongst us. We ask thee to remember Billy and Fred and Adrian especially as they're ordained and set apart for the work of the eldership here in the church. Lord, may they particularly know the nearness of the Lord and your good hand resting upon them. Lord, we ask thee to bless these brethren. Thank you for their faithfulness. And as you have used them in the past, we pray use them again in the future. Even, Father, if it please thee, in an even greater way. Pray that meeting tonight might be used of God, even to speak to hearts of family members, especially those that are out of Christ, those that are careless of the things of God. We're mindful, Father, even of preparations been made for outreaches over the summer. We remember the Holiday Bible Club in Killalea. Keep your hand upon it, all the arrangements. We pray for guidance, wisdom, and help. Pray, Father, for good weather. Pray especially that many children will be gathered in to hear the word of God. We pray for children to be saved and brought to Christ. We do want to thank you, Father, for all the work that was done in this past week. The parent and toddler group, remember the outreach on Tuesday night, the seed sown. We thank you, Father, for a very profitable day yesterday at the show. So many that were spoken to, that received the literature. You've promised, Father, your word will not return unto you void. Pray you'll speak through the outreach yesterday. We're asking for souls to be brought to Christ. We're praying, Father, you'll give to us a very bountiful harvest. Answer our prayers now and continue with us in this meeting. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. The 84th Psalm, please. We're singing the first six verses together. How lovely is thy dwelling place, O Lord of hosts, to me. The tabernacles of thy grace, how pleasant, Lord, they be. So the 84th Psalm, the first six verses, we're rising as we sing, please.
Right.
We're going to read together in the Old Testament scriptures. We're in Nehemiah chapter 3. The third chapter of the book of Nehemiah. It's one of the more difficult chapters of the scriptures to read, both privately, but especially publicly, because it's one of those chapters that has many names contained within it. Many of the names that are difficult to pronounce. When you're reading the passage privately, it's easy just to pass over them very quickly. We're going to begin to read together in the 16th verse of the chapter. Nehemiah chapter 3, the verse 16. Remember that Nehemiah left the palace, the great Persian palace, at the call of God, traveled to Jerusalem. The Lord had laid on his heart the rebuilding of the walls of the city that had lain in ruin for many years. So in Nehemiah chapter 3, the building work has begun. And remember that it's a united work. We sometimes talk about a one-man ministry. There is no such thing. It's always teamwork. And that's one of the great lessons of this passage. So many people that were involved. He was the leader, Nehemiah, of course, the leader, the overseer of the work. But there was many others involved in it. So we're going to read about a few of those folk, some of their names. Nehemiah 3, verse 16. And after him repaired Nehemiah. And I'll take the time to emphasize that's not Nehemiah that this book is called after. Remember in the Bible that sometimes you find people, different people by the same name. There are two Ananiases in the New Testament and so forth. So there's two Nehemiahs. And that's one of the reasons why in the scriptures you read the son of, because it helps to distinguish which family they actually came from. So if you go right back to the first verse of the book, the words of Nehemiah, the son of Hakaliah. So here in verse 16, it's Nehemiah, the son of Azbuk. So it's a different man, not the same Nehemiah. So there were two of them that were involved in this building project. The other Nehemiah, of course, the leader. So after him repaired Nehemiah, the son of Azbuk, the ruler of the half part of Beth Zur, unto the place over against the sepulchres of David, and to the pool that was made, and unto the house of the mighty. After him repaired the Levites, Rehum the son of Bani. Next unto him repaired Hashabiah, the ruler of the half part of Keilah in his part. After him repaired their brethren, Bavai, the son of Henadad, the ruler of the half part of Keilah. And next to him repaired Ezer, the son of Jeshua, the ruler of Mizpah, another piece. Here's some that went the second mile, another piece, over against the going up to the armory at the turning of the wall. After him, Barak, the son of Zabai, earnestly repaired the other piece from the turning of the wall onto the door of the house of Eliashib, the high priest. After him repaired Merimoth, the son of Urijah, the son of Koz, another piece, from the door of the house of Eliashib, even to the end of the house of Eliashib. And after him repaired the priests, the men of the plain. After him repaired Benjamin and Hashub, over against their house. Just think of those words, over against their house. Remember, that's always the right place to begin to serve and to labor for the Lord. in your own home and in your own community, in the place where you're known the best. That's the truth that's repeated over and over in this chapter. And then it goes on, after him repaired Azariah, the son of Messiah, the son of Ananiah, by his house. After him repaired Binu, the son of Henadad, another piece. You see the people that go a little further for the Lord, doing a little more. From the house of Azariah onto the turning of the wall, even onto the corner. Palal, the son of Uzai, over against the turning of the wall, and the tower which lieth out from the king's high house that was by the court of the prison. After him, Padiah, the son of Parosh. Moreover, the Nethinims dwelt in Ophel, onto the place over against the water gate towards the east, and the tower that lieth out. After them, the Tekoites repaired another piece over against the great tower that lieth out, even onto the wall of Ophel. From above the horse gate repaired the priests, every one over against his house. After them repaired Zadok, the son of Immer, over against his house. After him repaired also Shemaiah, the son of Shechaniah, the keeper of the east gate. Remember that very famous eastern gate, the keeper of the east gate. After him repaired Hananiah, the son of Shelemiah, and Hanun, the sixth son of Zalaf, another piece. Can I emphasize again the people that just go a little further, doing a little more, another piece. After him repaired Meshullam, the son of Berechiah, over against his chamber. After him repaired Malchiah, the goldsmith's son, onto the place of the Nethinims and of the merchants, over against the gate Mifkad, and to the going up of the corner. And between the going up of the corner unto the sheep gate, repaired the goldsmiths and the merchants. So we're ending our reading just there this morning, the end of the third chapter. And we pray the Lord will be pleased to follow with his blessing the public reading of this word. We do welcome everyone along to morning worship. We're glad of your presence. We thank you sincerely for your faithfulness. And it's our prayer the Lord will bless you abundantly in the meeting. We're glad to see the children and young people that are here, especially now that the Sunday school and Bible classes are off for the summertime. We appreciate you coming along. We want to encourage you to keep coming over the summertime, that regular attendance, even though there is no Sunday's class or Sunday school and Bible classes before the services. So we're glad to see each one that is gathered. We also want to welcome those that are looking in and watching on our live stream. Pray the meeting will be a blessing to you. The word of God might speak to your heart. We take a moment just to thank everyone that helped with the outreach yesterday at the Armagh show. We're thankful to those men that put up and took down the stand, those that prepared the bags and the literature. We thank our brother Billy McCrum for making all the plans and all of the arrangements. It was a very profitable day. A lot of literature went out, and there was a lot of very good conversations were held with those that stopped with us and those that passed the stand. So we commend that work to you for your prayers. We thank the Lord for his goodness. We thank the Lord for a very good day as far as the weather was concerned for that work, for the outreach work. And we thank all that gave so generously. There was a number of gifts that were given towards the costs, and we want to express our deepest thanks to all that gave those gifts. They were great encouragement to us. We thank as well just the committee men, all that have been helping out, for all the work that they have been doing on the church grounds. There's been various jobs in which they have been involved, various jobs that they've conducted, taking advantage of the good weather, just to be able to do that work on the grounds, just with the size of the church site, particularly in the summertime with all of the growth. There's a fair wee bit of work to do, so we want to express our thanks to all the men for the time that they've taken and for the work that they have done. That has been very much appreciated. Remember, please, the meeting's tonight, 6 o'clock, the prayer meeting. We invite you to come early for that season of prayer. Remember, 6:30, our evening service. It will be a very special and significant meeting in the history of the congregation here, the ordination of our three new elders, Mr. Billy McCrum, Mr. Fred West, and Mr. Adrian Stewart. The moderator, the Reverend Armstrong, and the clerk of presbytery, the Reverend John Greer, will be here to conduct that ordination on behalf of the presbytery. There will be other members of presbytery, some ministers and some elders, particularly from our neighbouring congregations. We appreciate them coming. It's a very difficult time of the year with so many other meetings, particularly children's days, other services that are taking place. So we're thankful to all of these brethren for taking the time to come. We encourage you to come as well. Do come along tonight. Encourage the brethren. Encourage all that will be here. It'll be an encouragement to the officers of presbytery as well to see you. Please give your full support to the service tonight. Even if you're not a regular evening attender, we would be very glad of your presence in the meeting this evening. There is to be supper for everyone after in the hall downstairs. The ladies have been very good in the help that they've given in recent weeks. We've had supper a number of times, but it was felt that as this was a very significant meeting, it would be good for us to have a time of fellowship after. So ask the ladies again to help. Just bring what you can for that supper tonight. Remember, please, the LTBS TV recordings tomorrow night over in Lurgan. They do need still some folk to come to help form the congregation. The last communication that we received from them, they said they needed at least 12 more folk to come so that the congregation would be at a reasonable level, the level that they like it to be at for those TV recordings. So if you can help to make up the congregation, we urge that upon you. It's especially for the recordings at 8 o'clock and 9 o'clock. You need to be there by 8. If you come early, there's a wee cup of tea served from 7:30. You can have the wee cup of tea just while you're waiting on the first of the recordings commencing. So we ask and make a special appeal. We ask you to make a special effort to come and attend those recordings tomorrow night. It will be great help to them. It will be a good experience for you as well. If you can go, please let me know that today so that I can communicate that information and those details to the LTBS folk. Tuesday night at 7:30 is the next meeting of the Kirk session of the church. That will be held in the minister's room of the church. Wednesday at 8, our prayer meeting and Bible study. It will be a missionary deputation. Our brother Gareth McDowell from the Mulla Glass Church will be here to report on the Philippines. They're currently at home just because of the circumstances with the children, but they're still active in giving support to the churches there in the Philippines. So he's going to come and show us a little presentation and give us an update of their work. And there will be a missionary offering that's taken at the close of that service. On Thursday night at 7, there's going to be some outreach carried on in Killaloe. That's for the Holiday Bible Club. It's just next week. So meeting at the band hall in Killaloe Thursday night at 7 o'clock to give out the invitations and so forth for those meetings. So encourage as many as possible to be involved in that outreach this coming Thursday night. Then remember, on Saturday, from 5:30, there is the barbecue, a time of informal fellowship for us as a church. That's going to be done for us by the Reverend and Mrs. Morris Baxter. There's going to be some games for the young people as well. Remember, it is open to folk from outside the congregation. Remember, there's no charge. Donations going to the Emmanuel Christian School in Uganda. So we encourage you to give as generously as you can. Remember, there's a list in the porch. Put your name on the list, or your family name, and then times 4 or 5 or whichever the case may be. If you have friends or family coming from outside the congregation, put their name down on the list as well, and the number, just so that we can give Mr. Baxter some idea of the numbers that he needs to prepare and cater for. And we ask the ladies, please bring along some desserts, if you can help in that manner on Saturday, please. Next Lord's Day, the 18th of June. The meeting's 11:30 a.m., 6:30 p.m. I'll be the preacher at the evening service. All of the new elders will give a brief word of testimony in the meeting. That generally takes place when there's an ordination. In years past, it used to actually take place in the ordination service itself, but it was felt that that lengthened out the service too much, especially if there was a number of men being ordained in the meeting. So it's generally done at a meeting soon after the ordination. So that will take place next Sunday evening. All three of the brethren will give a brief word, 8 or 10 minutes of testimony each. So we ask you to remember that. Make it known. Use it as an opportunity to invite others. The Tandragee Church is holding a baptismal service in September. It'll be Tuesday the 26th of September. They've kindly invited us to be involved in that. If we have anyone that would like to be baptized. So if the Lord has laid that in your heart, remember that every Christian should be baptized. It's a clear command of the Scriptures. So if you would like to be baptized at that service in Tandragee the 26th of September, speak to me about that as soon as possible. The Auchnacloy Church is having their youth rally tonight, 8:45. James Ross is testifying, and the Randallstown Youth Fellowship are to be the singers. The Bethany Church is holding a week of testimonies. It's this incoming week. They've put up a tent on the Mahon Road in Portadown. So the details of all the testimonies are on their Facebook page. So keep that in mind. We encourage you to go along on the nights that we don't have a meeting here in Armagh. And then also the Bethany Church is having their annual fun night. So that is for the Portadown Independent Christian School, and that's Friday week, Friday the 23rd of June at 7 o'clock. And keep in mind the Missionary Council weekend, just at the start of the winter, the 3rd to the 5th of November. The venue's changed this year. It's going to be in the Silver Birch Hotel in Oma. £145 per person sharing, and there are some of the booking forms in the porch with all of the details. 371, please. We're going to sing some verses together before we come to the Scriptures. My Jesus, I love thee, I know thou art mine. For thee all the pleasures of sin I resign. My gracious Redeemer, my Saviour art thou. If ever I love thee, my Jesus, 'tis now. The first, the second, and the fourth, verses 1, 2, and 4, we're standing to sing, please. We're turning to Nehemiah chapter 3, the words of the verse 20. Do you remember the Kerskadon family? The sending forth service for them was held on Thursday night past in Dungannon. It was a very good meeting, very well attended. The Lord's presence was known. In the will of the Lord, they leave for Uganda this Thursday. We'll arrive at the mission station on Friday evening, if everything is on time, so it's a long journey for them. Pray the Lord will give them a smooth and safe journey. Give them tokens for good. Mr. Kerskadon will commence his ministry at the Emmanuel Church next Lord's Day morning. I spoke at the service this morning. Spoke there via Zoom. The last number of weeks it's been some of the local men and some preachers here via Zoom that have spoken at the meetings. So we took the opportunity just to remind the folk of our brother's arrival and to encourage them to give to the family their full support in their labours there. So do remember that very significant missionary development in this incoming week. We'll just seek the Lord together. Father, we ask your blessing upon the missionary outreach of our denomination. Lengthen our cords and strengthen our stakes. We commit the Kerskadon family to thee, praying that you'll be with them. Thank you for that great promise that you're with us always. May they be conscious of your presence as they leave home and family. And Lord, we pray, do show them great tokens for good as they take up the ministry there. We ask thee to abide with us, Father, around the word of God. May we sit at your feet. May we know the Lord is here. Lord, may we have that consciousness that God himself is speaking to our hearts. Grant us power now, Lord, come and give utterance. We plead that you'll stand with us. May the hand of God be upon the preacher. We ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Nehemiah 3, verse 20. After him, Barak, the son of Zabai, earnestly repaired the other piece from the turning of the wall onto the door of the house of Eliashib, the high priest. It's the words especially, earnestly repaired. I want you to think of the earnestness of some of these workers. And we want you to think about your earnestness, how earnest, how serious you are about the things of God. You will know, some of you will know this by experience in your homes, children sometimes like to play church, as we would describe it. I'm sure your children have done that, or your grandchildren, at some time or other. A few of them will gather together, one will be the preacher, they will sing a hymn or some choruses and sort of go through the routine of a church service, playing at church. The sad fact, brethren and sisters, is it's not just children that do that. Not just children that act in that manner. Often grown-ups, adults, do it as well. And that's what I want you to think about this morning. I wonder, is that true of you? Is that a description of how you live the Christian life? You're just playing. Just playing at the things of God. Just playing at church. It is a good question to ask yourself this morning. How earnest, how very serious are you? How earnest are you about being a Christian? About serving God? How earnest are you about your walk with God? We sang about that in the opening hymn, Oh, for a Closer Walk. Did you really mean it? Are you really serious about that? Are you serious about winning souls? About doing outreach in this city, this community, this locality? Are you serious about attending meetings in the house of God? Are you in earnest about this church, the witness of this church, its witness in this city and in this district round about? Are you serious about church membership and all the responsibilities that go with being a member of the church? To sum it all up, just ask yourself, are you really in earnest about the things of God as a whole? Or are you just playing? It's just a game. You're really just like children playing a game when it comes to the things of God. Remember, the Savior said, "Whereunto shall I liken this generation?" He's talking about the generation in which he ministered when he was there in Jerusalem. He said, "It is like unto children sitting in the marketplace." Like unto children. It's not interesting that he likened that generation, he likened those people just to children playing. They called unto one another and they asked them to pipe, and they piped not, and so on. Just like children playing games. So I ask you, brethren and sisters, is that what you're like as well? Just like that generation. Is that what the church is like in the days in which we are found? Think of it like this. What are you most serious about? Are you more serious about your work than God's work? Are you more serious about winning the lottery? And yes, I'm not naive enough to think that some Christians don't do the lottery. Are you more serious about winning the lottery than about winning lost souls for Christ? Are you more serious about keeping up with Coronation Street or some other soap opera on the television than you are keeping up from day to day with your Bible reading, your study of the Word of God? That ought not to be, brothers and sisters. The Scriptures talk about those that are at ease in Zion, at ease in the house of God. I wonder, is that you? Those that are slack, careless among God's people, not doing any work, not making any effort in the things of God. Remember in the book of the Revelation, we read about the church at Laodicea. The mark of that church, its characteristic was it was lukewarm, neither cold nor hot. It was a church with no zeal. John R. Rice, the American evangelist, described it as the sin that made God vomit. So here's a question. Is this church a lukewarm church? A Laodicean church? Are you a Laodicean Christian? A lukewarm believer? Can I ask you, brethren and sisters, do you think that God wants you to be more serious about running your business than you are about running his church? Do you not think that God wants you to be more in earnest about running the church and about the preaching of the word and the reaching of lost souls than you are about your business and about your work? Of course that is the case. Is that how it is with you? Are you serious about your work? Are you serious about your business? Are you in earnest about your employment? Of course you are. You wouldn't keep your job long if you weren't. You wouldn't do well in business if you weren't. Well, we're thinking, men and women, about God's work. We're thinking today about the King's business. So how much more serious, how much more earnest ought we not to be about that? How much more? There's a record here about those who were really in earnest about the work of God. Look at those words again. Earnestly. It wasn't just that they repaired. It wasn't just that they were in the work. They were earnest about it. They were earnestly repairing. And these were some of the people that were going the second mile, earnestly repaired the other piece. You know, sometimes when somebody has done what they think is their bit, and they see something more to do, or they're asked to do a little more, and there's some sarcastic comment made about it, and they drag their feet. Well, that's not how it was here. Earnestly repaired the other piece. They went the second mile. They went a little further. And they did it with all of their heart. So there's a record here of those who were earnest about the work of God. That's a challenge. Brethren and sisters, we should be the same. I want just for a few minutes to think of some facts that should cause us to be more earnest in the Christian life. more earnest in the way we live for God, more serious about how we serve the Master. Think, first of all, about sin. Is there sin in your life? Sin that you're holding on to? Maybe a secret sin that nobody else, very few others, know anything about. Maybe it's a gross sin, a very serious sin. Remember, if there's sin in the life of a Christian, that's a serious thing. It's a very serious thing. Can I remind you of what sin does in the life of the Christian? It breaks your fellowship with God. We sang about a closer walk. You can't have a closer walk with God. In fact, you're not walking with God if there's unconfessed sin in your life. Isaiah said, your sin has separated between you and your God. That sin has broken your fellowship with the Lord. John said, if we say that we have fellowship with him, if you're boasting today that you're walking with the Lord and you walk in darkness, he's speaking there about sin in your life, we lie. Notice he couldn't be plainer. The message couldn't be clearer. We lie and do not the truth. Sin breaks your fellowship with God. Sin hinders your prayers. The psalmist said, if we regard iniquity in our hearts, that means if you're holding on to it, you're not willing to repent of it and forsake it. If we regard iniquity in our hearts, the Lord will not hear us. Doesn't matter what you pray or how long you pray. If there's unconfessed sin, that prayer will not be heard, not be answered. Remember that sin in the life of the Christian, sin in the life of the church, grieves the Holy Spirit. Paul said, writing to the Ephesians, grieve not the Holy Spirit of God. That's a very serious thing, men and women. Why no power? Why is there not the power of God upon our meetings, upon our witness? Maybe that once there was, that some of you can remember. Could it be the Spirit's grieved? Could it be the Spirit is withdrawn because of sin? Remember, too, that sin in the life of the Christian plays into the hands of the enemy. Isn't David a great example of that? The man after God's own heart fell into sin with Bathsheba. And the Lord had to say to him through Nathan the prophet, thou hast given the enemies of God an opportunity to blaspheme the Lord's name. Ponder that for a moment. Sin plays into the hands of the enemy. It gives ammunition to the enemies of the gospel. And remember too that sin brings the chastening hand of God. In the book of Corinthians, in dealing with the Lord's table, Paul said to those believers, for this cause, many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. It's because they had not dealt with their own sins. It had brought the chastening hand of God. Think of Acts chapter 5, Ananias and Sapphira. Remember, God stepped in because of their sin, their deceit, their lying to the Holy Ghost. The Lord stepped in, the sin unto death. Remember in the Old Testament, the prophet from Judah that the Lord sent to Bethel, and the Lord told him that he was to deliver the message and then he was to leave the city. He wasn't to turn into one of the houses. And he disobeyed God, and the Lord slew him. Sin brings the chastening hand of God. So, brethren and sisters, when we think of all of these things, when we see the effect of sin in our lives and in the life of the church, does it not teach you you need to be very serious about the Christian life? You need to be in earnest about your testimony for God. You need to be in earnest about how you labor for Christ, how you serve the Master. Something else that we should consider that will challenge us about being more serious is death. We may not like it, but it is right and good to think about death, to think about your death. Remember Moses, the man of God. Oh, that men would be wise, that they would understand this, that they would consider their latter end. So God wants you to think about death. Not just the unsaved, He wants the believer, the child of God, to think about their death as well. Can I point out, brethren and sisters, there's no guarantee that you will live to be old. Sometimes we talk about the allotted span, 70 years, 70 years and 10. Let me make it clear to you, the Bible does not promise that you will live to be 70 years of age. That's a misunderstanding of the words of the 90th Psalm. That 90th Psalm was written by Moses, the man of God. It wasn't written by David, it was written long before the days of David. That 90th Psalm was written to do with the wilderness wanderings of the children of Israel. Remember, God had told that generation that came out of Egypt that they wouldn't enter into the promised land. They wouldn't enter in because of their sin, their unbelief at Kadesh Barnea, that generation would fall in the wilderness. So that's what the Lord was saying to them. They would live to 70 years and 10, if by reason of strength it shall be 80. That's the most that any of you are going to live. But not one of that generation was going to enter into the land of promise. That's the message. It's not a promise. It's not a promise that you will live to be 70 or 80 years of age. The Bible says, thou shalt come to thy grave in a full age. Those are the words of Job. Not necessarily in old age. God's will for you, for your life, could be complete long before what we would describe as old age. King Edward VI, one of the most godly monarchs this nation ever had, died as a lad of 16. Charles Haddon Spurgeon, the great Baptist preacher, what a ministry he had. It's one of those strange things that we can hardly understand, why God would not allow a man like that to continue longer. Died at just 57 years of age. Robert Murray McShane, what a life. What a walk with God he had. Died before his 30th birthday. There's no guarantee, men and women, that you're going to live to be old. Remember, like old Isaac, we know not the day of our death. And that teaches us, that's a message. You need to be serious. And you need to be serious about serving God. And you need to be serious about serving God now, while you still have time, while you still have health, while you still have opportunity. The Savior said, son, go work today in my vineyard. Not tomorrow, not when you're older, not when you've climbed the corporate ladder, not when you've made what you think is going to be a fortune. Go work today in my vineyard. Is there a backslider in the meeting? Lukewarm Christian? You're saying, I'll serve God later. Serve God when I'm older. Well, that's all right if you live to be older. But who knows if that'll be the case? There's no guarantee that it will. You think too of the death of others. Think of the person that you work with, the person that you live beside. Think of the other members of your family. You don't know the day of their death either. Very soon they could be gone. You know something that's quite amazing when you talk to people, talk to them especially about their families? They don't know how their loved ones stand as far as the things of God are concerned. You say to them about so-and-so, are they saved? Well, I don't know. Never spoken to them. Just think about that. Never spoken to them. Is there members of your family, people that you work with, people that you live beside, and you've never spoken to them? I'm reading a daily devotional at the minute. It's thoughts put together by D.L. Moody's daughter from his messages. She told that story in one of them during the week, or Mr. Moody's thoughts, that he had decided when he was a young man that he was going to witness to at least one person every day. He reckoned if God allowed him to live as long as the allotted span from that time, he would have witnessed personally every day to 18,000 people. It's not a challenge. Every day that you should get up, one of the number one priorities is, who am I going to talk to today about Christ? Who's the Lord going to guide me to today that I can be a witness for my Savior? You have to admit today, people that you've never spoken to in your family, among your circle of friends about eternity, I plead with you, men and women, don't wait until they're dead. Don't wait until they're dying. Be earnest now to speak to them about their soul, to reach them for Christ. Remember, there is such a thing as the last opportunity. Maybe this week will bring the last opportunity for some of those people that you know and are dear to you. So death, your own death, the death of others, that speaks to us. That's a message. That urges us. We need to be earnest. We need to be in real earnest about the things of God. You think of hell as well. Remember that hell is real. It's possible to lose sight of that as a Christian. Hell is certain. Hell is a fact. There's a great question, debate about the location of hell. I could give you some thoughts on that. But where is hell, men and women? It's at the end of every Christless life. It's a fact. People that die without Christ go to hell. We need to remind ourselves of that. We need a greater belief in hell. The disciples prayed, Lord, increase our faith. Well, we need to increase our faith more in what God has said in His Word, the things that He has said. General Booth, the founder of the Salvation Army, he said he would like to take every cadet of the Salvation Army and lift the lid on hell. Give them a sight. Let them look in. See the damned. See their agony. See their condition. Hear the cries. He thought that would give them a greater zeal in reaching souls for Christ. But you know, men and women, God actually does that. God lets you see into hell. In the Bible, God draws back the veil, gives us a glimpse of eternity. Luke 16, perhaps the fullest statement on hell that you'll find in anywhere in all the book of God. The rich man died, and in hell, he lifted up his eyes, being in torments. Do you sense it? Do you feel it today? Revelation chapter 20. Cast body and soul out into the lake of fire, the lake that burneth with fire and brimstone forever and forever. I urge you, study those passages. Read them carefully. God wants us to know. He wants us to see the reality, the torments of those places. Do you know something I would encourage you to do, challenge you to do? Read Luke 16 on your knees. Open the Bible at Luke 16, verse 19, read to the end. Read it on your knees in prayer before God. That's one way to get a greater concern, men and women, a greater burden for the lost. And as you face the reality of hell, and as God impresses on your heart the reality of souls perishing in hell, perhaps even some of the souls of your family, I ask you, how can you be at ease? How can you be lukewarm? How can you be careless? Do you not see the need to be serious about spreading the gospel? The need to be in earnest about witnessing to others about the Savior? Should you not be zealous to snatch them as brands out of the burning? Hell, men and women, that's another fact that should cause us to be in greater earnestness. The final one I'll mention is the judgment. Remember, Paul said, we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. There's none that will escape None of us. Somebody said you should live as if Calvary was yesterday and Jesus rose again today and he's coming again tomorrow. And remember, when he comes, we'll stand at the judgment. We'll all stand at the judgment. Romans, Paul said in the book of Romans, every one of us shall give account of himself to God. The way you've lived the Christian life, we're going to have to give an answer for that. The way that you've served the Lord, the way you've attended the meetings. You know, it's very easy to brush to the side when there's a work to be done, when there's meetings to attend. It's very easy just to give an off-the-cuff comment about those things. That's not how it will be on the day when we stand before God. Every one of us shall give an account. God will call us to answer for that. How you served the Lord, how you got involved in the outreaches of the church, how faithful you were in attending, how faithful you were in coming to the prayer meetings. Every one of us shall give an account unto the Lord. How will it be? How will that be for you, my brother, my sister? How you used your time, how you used your gifts, how you used your money, how you lived the Christian life. Can I ask you, men and women, that knowing that day of reckoning, that day of accounting is coming, should that not speak to you today? Should that challenge you not to be more earnest in the way you live the Christian life? In closing, let me just show you, if you look at verse 5 of the chapter 3 of Nehemiah, it says, "And next unto them the Tekoites repaired, but their nobles," notice here some of the leaders of the community, "their nobles put not their necks to the work of their God." But it says of Barak the son of Zabai in verse 20 that he earnestly repaired. See the contrast between the two? There are some that put not their necks to the work of their Lord, but then there were those that earnestly got involved in the work. So it shows us not everyone was earnest, not everyone was serious. The fact is, there's very few that's actually described as being earnest, being earnest for the Lord. So which men and women of those records is God writing about you? It's good to remember that. When you see what's written into the book about some of these people, never forget that God's writing your record too. God's writing the record of your life. It's not just the people in Bible times. The Word of God says on that day we'll stand before him, the books will be opened. Those are the books of God's reckonings, God's writings, God's records of the lives that we have lived. So he's writing an account of your life. And those are the things he'll set before us on the day of judgment. Those are the things we'll have to account for, answer for. One of those daily devotional books of Mr. Moody's are the messages. After a meeting one time, Moody was with a few Christians. He was introduced to a believer. One of them was actually from Dublin. And the man said about Moody, "Is he O&O? Well, that was the first time Moody had ever heard that. "Is he an O&O Christian?" Moody didn't know what it meant. He had to ask for it to be explained. The man said, "Is he out and out? Out and out for Christ?" That's the sort of man that Barak was in this 20th verse. He was out and out. Wasn't trailing his feet. He wasn't indifferent and lukewarm. He was earnest. And you know, brethren and sisters, that's the sort of Christian every one of us should be. Out and out, serving God with all your heart. No holding back. in any way. So let me come right back to where we started. Playing at church. Is that you today? Playing at church? Playing at the things of God? How serious? How serious that is, men and women. May God save us from it. After him, Baruch, the son of Zabai, earnestly repaired the other piece. May God give us all that earnestness in the lives that we live and in our service for him. We're going to turn to the closing hymn, 644. Remember, these words were penned by an Ulster man, J. Edwin Orr, theologian of revival. Search me, O God, and know my heart today. Try me, O Saviour, know my thoughts, I pray. See if there be some wicked way in me. Cleanse me from every sin and set me free. We'll sing 1, 3, and 4 of the hymn 644, and we'll stand to sing, please. Pray together. Father, we've known your presence with us today. You've spoken to our hearts from thy word. We pray that we'll not be forgetful hearers, that we'll go from the house of God and quickly and easily forget the message and the things that you've said to us. Lord, come by your Spirit and write this word upon every heart. Speak on to us, Father. We plead that you will draw us closer. We cry, give us and help us to be more earnest, more serious in the things of God and in the service of Christ. O Holy Ghost, revival comes from thee. Send a revival and start that work in me. Start it in my heart. Start it in all our hearts, even this very day. We commit ourselves into your hands. Pray you'll go with us. Bless us through the day. Bless us through the week. Especially, Father, we pray, come down and be amongst us in the service tonight. And now may the blessing of God Almighty, the blessing of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit rest upon each one for Jesus' sake. Amen.